Well, good morning, everybody. I mean, I am beside myself in a number of different ways. I mean, we've had, for those who don't know the sound of my voice, I'm Scott Stevens, and I've been privileged to be a part of the fellowship for probably 15 years. And we've had a great time visiting with Brother Steve and Sister Robin over the course of this week. I mean, we speak all the time, but it is always better to have fellowship face to face. And Brother Steve commanded me to preach this morning, and the things that we've been talking about have kind of coalesced and come together for me in a number of interesting ways. Some people who know me and knew me before I was a Christian know that I was a very involved political guy, that I spent a lot of time looking into the history of America. I woke up in my 40s to some things about America and learned there was a lot that I wasn't taught about how this country was set up to run. And it made me angry that things had ended up the way they were, and that I saw it in the middle of my life. And before I became a Christian, I looked in and around and through libraries. The internet wasn't really viable back then. You had to go to a .edu or a .gov site to actually get onto the internet. And I spent a lot of time at Dartmouth because I lived in New Hampshire at the time. And I learned all the different doctrines of men who had founded the United States. And in their doctrine and in their teaching, I couldn't help but notice, as a guy who had absolutely nothing to do with Christianity, that all of the things that they rested their perspectives on, their ideas, all could be traced back to the Bible. And I hadn't quite put together why that was, but I figured, I mean, if there was something in the Bible that somehow brought about a system of government that stood all of history on its head and provided to an individual person the freedom and liberty of conscience and choice, which I knew even as a non-Christian was essentially unavailable before that time. At least that's what I thought. In my travels as a radio talk show guy, I became acquainted with Brother Davey, Richard Utzler, and Steve Atherton, who in my original and first encounters with these guys, I thought that they were about as loony as anyone I had ever met. But once again, I knew they were getting things right, even if I didn't agree with some of the goofy things they were talking about when it came to Jesus. And they afforded me an opportunity to get a microphone, do some satellite radio. And at the time, I had built up a radio program of my own that was local in New Hampshire. And one thing led to another. And one of the things that happened to me in the midst of all this is we became rather well known, my wife Gail and myself and my household, the weekend after a guy named Timothy McVeigh blew up the federal building down there in Oklahoma City, because I had become a rather well known locally public guy that was talking about the right to keep and bear arms. I ended up with a bunch of satellite trucks in my yard. And I was terrified. And I read things that they were saying about me and how they linked me somehow to Timothy McVeigh. And once that was out there in the media, I remember sitting in my living room, shivering in my boots, thinking, oh my gosh, the whole world is going to think I am a nut. And in the last year, and this brings me back to navigating toward the scripture, in the last year, there have been changes politically that have taken place that I had long since believed were not possible. I believed and I learned in my, at the end of what was my political walk, these times that I'm reminiscing about with you all now, I learned the truth of the gospel from these folks who I initially wrote off as just another kooky part of all of this political stuff. And over the last year, after 15 or 20 years of watching the country descend further and further into a framework of lies and deceit and deception, it actually is what psychologists would call a social construct. People all agree about a certain thing, and they establish a doctrine, and then they all begin to speak the same things about that doctrine. One of the central issues out here in the world is racism, for example. So if you have anything that you don't like about a guy like Barack Obama, you're probably a racist, according to this construct that had been built up over the last probably 60 years. And when I think about this construct, I realize that it is involving hundreds of thousands of minds of people, each of whose mind has been brought to a place where they've come into agreement with a number of things that are fundamentally untrue according to scripture. Absolute balderdash. And one of the amazing things about this fellowship is that we are not like many so-called Christian fellowships of our day, a 501c3 corporation. That means that I can occupy the pulpit knowing that the Lord would have me say these things because we have not signed a contract with this government. We have not joined ourselves to the doctrine that government is above man and certainly not above God. Instead, and I'm going to go back to Joshua, because this is one of the things that we've been talking about, Brother Steve and I, over the last few days in our visits together that we've had late at night and together at the various times we've been able to spend together. And under Joshua's system of order that God gave Moses and then his minister Joshua, there was a covenant made. Many of us have read over and over again how that covenant took shape as the people were preparing to go into the promised land. It was a covenant between Joshua and God, a covenant between the people and God, and a covenant between Joshua and the people. It was a three-way covenant that established God as the head, Joshua, who essentially embodied the idea of government as the servant, and people as the subjects. This was a godly order of things. And it wasn't until a whole lot of hundreds of years later that a similar system was established that created an order where each individual person could choose according to their conscience what they would believe. The First Amendment is the First Amendment because it is the fundamental principle that separated Christianity in its true sense from false doctrine of pretentious Christianity. The idea that this was a country where you could have Wesleyans and Lutherans, and there's a lot of different names to the various fellowships that were around early in the time that this nation was founded. But the one thing, and this brings me to another scripture that is Hosea. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. This is where we are. We are in a place where by the power of the Spirit of God, all of the lies and foolishness that have been established by unbelievers for several generations. And I'm talking about unbelievers who call themselves Christians. Because if God is not your head, you are not a Christian. If you do not have fellowship with God in accordance with the Word of God, you are not a Christian. You may say that you are all about Jesus, but there are fundamental principles in Scripture that you cannot escape. Another scripture that came to mind for me over the last several days was over there in John when Jesus was being convicted and Pilate was interrogating him. Pilate's response to what Jesus said, and bear with me here a minute, I'll see if I can pull this up, because it's important to realize just how this has happened. Brother Steve, I appreciate it. And it's in this situation that Pilate's question was, what is truth? What is truth? Jesus, in the same book, said that I am the truth, the way, and the life. And what that brings me around to is the idea that this social construct that has become the train wreck that we call modern America has sought to redefine a truth. They've changed what truth means. And you know, each and every one of you listening has done the same thing. You might not know it, but you were born into a world where when you first open your eyes and begin to speak, you were devoid of the truth. You had no idea of truth. Truth for you was what the people around you told you it was, and you came to believe it in one way or another. You were hypnotized into thinking that you understood what was going on around you. You understood what was right and what was wrong and what people did to you as right and wrong and how your relationships took place and what was right about what they were doing and how much that was right or wrong. All of that teaching that you received from the time you first drew breath and opened your eyes until the time those of you who are Christians and know Christ came to a place where they met him face to face. Spirit of truth. You see, there's only one person in this order that has the authority to define truth. You don't. I don't. Jesus is the one who has the authority and the power. And it brings me back to one more scripture that we talked a little bit about earlier this week. It's where everything all went wrong so many hundreds of years ago, when man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, we are not equipped as created beings to make that judgment. And if we think we are, that's called pride. We have to learn to yield to the Spirit of God. And I don't know about anyone that's listening. I just know how I learned. I yielded to men who already knew him, who he blessed me by putting them in my path when I was lost. I yielded. And I learned and decided that I wanted to yield everything to Jesus, because he is the truth, the way, and the life. May all of you be blessed this day. Enjoy your Father's Day and fellowship, those guys of you out there. Some good food. We've been having that here. And I look forward to getting together with each and every one of you. I'm headed down to James in July. Maybe we'll screw a few more screws into that bus and see where that all ends up. May the Lord bless you all.